I remember every moment. Every second. I'll never forget when I came out of the church and saw you for the first time. It was as if I stepped outside on a cloudy day, and suddenly the sun came out.
That's Jamie Fraser, an 18th century Highland warrior, talking to his love, Claire Randall, in the cult television series Outlander. It's a passionate romance that has driven fans around the world mad. But it's no simple love affair, because it's 1743 and the 6'4" kilt-clad Scot Jamie and his clansmen are being drawn into the second Jacobite uprising. And Claire is a married British army nurse who's just been serving in World War II. How can that be? Well, it's something to do with sacred stones and falling through time, and all based on the best-selling sci-fi romance novels by Diana Gabaldon. But unlike other narratives in this genre, Outlander's sexual politics are strikingly contemporary. This week I caught up with the Scottish actor Sam Heughan, who plays Jamie Fraser, and has been in Australia ahead of the global release of the second season of Outlander at the start of April. Welcome, Sam Heughan.
Thank you very much.
Now, for people who hear the words sci-fi romance and recoil in literary horror, these books, they set out a narrative which is what's been described as feminist. It's a story based on a woman's experience of, well, romance, time travel.
Yeah, the novels. I mean, Diana Gabaldon wrote this collection of books, and she's written eight now. And, you know, they're very hard to pigeonhole. You know, there is obviously a central romance to the novels, but there's time travel, there's the historical side, which is very big, there's a supernatural side, there's a sci-fi side. There really is so much in these books. And the reason that they've been, you know, a New York Times bestseller many times over is because there's so much in there and there's something for everyone.
The general outline of the story in the first series, we have Claire Fraser. She's been a nurse in World War II. Mm. She reconnects with her husband. They go to Scotland to a second honeymoon of sorts. She somehow happens across some standing stones and is thrown back two centuries to the 18th century, where she comes across a bunch of Highlanders, including you.
That's right. Very fortuitously, I think. She goes to Scotland. It's, you know, after the Second World War. She's trying to reconnect with her husband, and they've grown apart. And it's quite sad because there definitely was, you know, a young love there, but they're very distant, and they were very much affected by the war. She was, you know, a field nurse and has seen a great deal of suffering, and he likewise has also been affected by the war. So they go back to Scotland to reconnect, and this is where this sort of strange supernatural side comes, and she falls through time back to the 1700s, the time of the Jacobites and the Jacobite Revolution, and very quickly bumps into the enemy of the peace, which is Black Jack Randall, who is actually a descendant or an ancestor of her husband in the future.
And played by the same actor.
Played by the wonderful Tobias Menzies, who plays both characters. And then is rescued by this group of Highlanders. And in a very convoluted or rather complex, should I say, turn of events, she's forced into a marriage to save her from Black Jack Randall. The Scots force her into a marriage with my character, Jamie Fraser. And then, you know, over time they fall in love. But it is kind of a bit back to front.
Yeah, and just there we see one of the classic tropes of the romance genre, the forced marriage. But I think that's where the gender politics flip, because she's from the future. She has a far more sophisticated, modern idea of sexuality, gender politics, and here she is amongst these men who, well, you know, they're Highlanders. And in fact, your character, we learn pretty quickly on, is a virgin.
Yes, I think, you know, it's fair to say, you know, this is a strong female character, which actually is very rare in television and film these days. And actually, I don't know why we're talking about that being something new. And you know, it should be the norm. You know, why is that such a, you know, such a shock for people? But yes, it's terrific to have this strong female character. And so she's from the future. She has a lot of prior knowledge and also a different way of thinking about things. And she's gone back in time and is being treated like women were in, you know, in the 1700s. And basically they were a second class citizen. They were obviously expected to behave a certain way. And she by no means will do that. And through time, she sort of teaches Jamie, my character, about how to be more modern and about how to think differently. And he also is very forward thinking, so he can make that mental jump. But there's always a clash between the two, because it's about, you know, his moral code, how things are done at that time, and obviously her from the future and having this prior knowledge. And that's not to say that everything that she brings from the future is right. In fact, he's from a time where things are a lot more dangerous. People live by their word. There's a lot of honor. And actually, you live and die by your actions. And she also learns that from him.
It's a really interesting dynamic between the two characters because, I mean, you say it should be more common. I think it's actually quite groundbreaking in that we don't really see a female character taking the sexual lead. And it's quite an erotic treatment. I mean, I've seen all the fan videos, I'm sure you have too, online where people have taken scenes and remashed them with their favourite songs and brought out different elements of it. So it's clearly connecting with something, well, very intimate and personal with the audience.
Yeah.
What's it like to be in the middle of that storm?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I think what we've done with the show is, without trying to be groundbreaking, but we you know, trying to sort of make water cooler moments, but we are trying to tell the story of this relationship. And sex to them is very much, you know, a part of how they connect and learn about each other. And so they're young and they are learning about each other. And he's, you know, as we said earlier, a virgin. So it's about how these scenes move their relationship forward. And so we were very... We spoke closely to the you know, the writers and the producers about every moment that was intimate or even violent as well. There's a lot of, you know, there's a bit of violence in the show, but we didn't want it to be gratuitous. It's about moving the relationship forward. And so these intimate moments you see, I mean, I don't think they're any more explicit than any other show that's on television. But what we do is have some sort of intimacy that you maybe don't, you know, normally the camera pans off the couple in the bed and it's a soft focus, whereas we don't let the camera, you know, look, turn away. And then we see moments where their relationship develops and where they fall in love and also learn something about each other.
Much has been written about this series being, well, for the female gaze, produced for women, by women, with a woman at the centre of it. And also it's been said that you're one of those rare actors who's comfortable with that gaze that allows the female viewer in. Why do you think you have that? How have you been able to create that as part of your performance?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, we don't make the show, you know, just for women. I think we make it for everyone, you know, and I think it just goes back to this thing that it's just rare to have, you know, a strong female character, and it's told from her point of view, as the novels are. So we've tried to stick as closely to novels as possible, but ultimately it's from her POV, and so she, as the viewer, feels and sees things in a certain way. So obviously, you know, we're going to see much of her side. But there are also episodes that we see from, without giving away too many spoilers, from season one, but, you know, we see it from Jamie's point of view, my point of view. So, yeah, it's refreshing as well. We had a great, you know, team that we worked with, the writers and producers, and we had a fantastic director, Anna Forster, who did a lot of the more intimate episodes, the wedding episode, but also the last episodes of season one, which were quite traumatic for many of the characters. And I think having that female touch has brought a sensitivity maybe to the show.
Yes. And the end of season one, without wanting to give away much for people who will catch up on it before season two, there is some extraordinary sexual violence, which is really, you know, hard to watch, and you're the victim of it. That's a brave move, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. It's, yeah, without giving it away to those that haven't seen it. And if you haven't, you should catch up, because I think it's, as I said before, very surprising. You know, the show constantly changes. And by the end, this very strong character, Jamie Fraser, is subjected to sort of a physical torture, but also a mental one. And Jamie, as we learn in the show, can put his body on the line. But at this point, he he is just taken to somewhere else. And actually, this evil character, this arch nemesis, Blackjack Randall, this British officer, he mentally scars Jamie. And I think that's just, it's fascinating. It's, you know, a different kind of hero that we're seeing. And certainly we see that sort of carry on into season two.
Yeah, it's a remarkable television moment, I think, because the storyline was about a male being in a situation that we are so often seeing women in.
Mm.
It's quite, well, it's remarkable for its rareness, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, as an actor, I think being given that challenge and that opportunity, I certainly relished it because, you know, a lot of television, you don't. You know, in theatre, that's where I come from, a theatre background, and I think you get a lot more opportunities to test yourself or challenge yourself on the stage. But in TV, you know, it can be quite safe, and it's just nice to be given something quite challenging. And you know, I'm very fortunate. I work with a great cast. Tobias Menzies, who plays Blackjack Randall, and Katrina Balfe, who plays Claire, are just, you know, terrific actors. Mm. So we trust each other. And I think that's what allows us to then go to these slightly darker places.
We're talking with Sam Heughan. He's one of the stars of the series Outlander. He plays Jamie Fraser. Tell us a little about that background in theatre. I think you started quite young. You were in theatre for young people.
Yeah, that's right. I was born and brought up in the southwest of Scotland, and I guess I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I knew I was interested in theatre, but I didn't quite know how. I moved to Edinburgh when I was a teenager, and I started going to the Royal Lyceum Theatre in Edinburgh, and just fell in love with the theatre, and was very fortunate that I joined the youth theatre there. And, you know, through that process, went to drama school as well. But it's, you know, it's something that I love. I think youth theatre is very important. I am the patron of youth theatre in Scotland. And, you know, it's a terrific way for people to get into this industry, and not just acting as well. You know, our show, we employ hundreds of craftsmen, of plasterers, of labourers. Yeah. People that drive cars, people that, you know, make coffee. It's such a vast industry, and one that's great for Scotland as well, and, you know, one that we should be encouraging people to get into.
Mm. So tell us about, you're on this tour, actually, I think, of going around the world.
Mm.
And we've seen the rise of the Comic Con phenomenon, which is really where, oh, gosh, it's hard to explain, isn't it? Fans of shows, of series go along, they get a chance to hear from the creators, the actors. They often get tips on inside knowledge, and sometimes they even dress up when they go.
Yes,
they
yes.
go. What's that like? What is it like to walk on stage and there's screaming fans?
Yeah, I mean, it's all, we've now done two Comic Cons. They're this large convention which are primarily based around, you know, graphic novels and a lot of TV shows. And people, as you said, there's a lot of cosplay, which is where people dress up as characters and try and be as close to that character as possible. But it's vast. It's become really huge. And the one that we have attended twice now is in San Diego. And it's just enormous. You know, it goes on for many days, and there are thousands and thousands of fans of different shows. And it's a great opportunity for us, though, as actors, to leave the bubble that we're working in, you know, in Scotland, in the rain and mud, and go to sunny San Diego and see, you know, what actually people are out there that are excited about what we're making. And we do a lot of panels there, a lot of, you know, Q&As. A lot of signings, and it's just a really nice buzz of people that are just passionate about the work that we're producing.
Mm. I imagine it's pretty intense. Have you come across any convincing Jamie Frasers?
I've seen a few Jamie Frasers. I mean, it's such a strange place. I mean, I was on a rooftop in San Diego and looking down. We was having some interviews up there, and we had a group of Highlanders for our show that were walking around San Diego playing the bagpipes and chanting Outlander. And they happened to come across a group of Sharknado supporters who were all dressed up as sharks. And they had a dance-off in the street with the bagpipes playing. And it really was a very bizarre moment.
Very West Side Story.
And yeah, exactly. The sharks and the jets. And it's kind of bonkers, but you know, just a lot of fun.
Mm, gosh, there's 8 books or something in this series. You going to go the distance?
We hope so. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, we've now completed our second season. I've actually been on this job for 3 years now. Time is flying by, but it seems to be building a lot. You know, it's all around the world. It's doing very well. It's great to come to Australia as well and New Zealand and see, you know, that the show is such a vast reaching fan base.
Well, if you haven't heard of Outlander yet, be prepared because no doubt it'll become part of your life soon. Sam Huynh, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
I should say that that series two of Outlander begins on Sunday, April 10, on Foxtel's Soho channel. It was amazing how the Life Matters team tripled during that interview. I didn't know that we had so many women working for us on this program.